Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We begin our study today in verse 9. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's begin reading in verse 7. Go, eat your food with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. And we saw last time that, not just here, but in many places in Scripture, God indicates that he wants us to enjoy life. Within the bounds of Scripture, of course, enjoy life. He gives us all good things to enjoy. And then he continues in verse 9 by saying, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Well, his life is meaningless, and we know why. It's because he excludes God. And life has no meaning if we are not serving God in how we live and in what we do. But when one knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, life is full of meaning. Even the most menial task takes on eternal meaning when it's done for Jesus Christ. Life may have been meaningless for this fella, but it doesn't have to be for us. And then he says in verse 9, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. And that's God's will for a married couple. God would like husbands and wives to enjoy each other's company. It doesn't always work out that way. And there are many reasons for that. However, that is what God would like to see. There's a time for hard work and a time to be serious. But God would also like to see some happiness in a marriage. It's not always easy. But if a husband and wife never take time to laugh and have some fun, then they are missing out on something that God wants to bless them with. And he continues in verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. That's what the New Testament tells Christians to do. Play hard, work hard. Serve God hard. Just make the most of each day, because each day is a gift from God. And the thing to remember is that we are only given a limited number of days to work with. And so every day should be lived as if it is our last. 11. He says, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. And what he is saying, what he has observed, and what is absolutely true, is that things do not always work out the way they should in this life. Success is uncertain. Life is much more complicated than follow these steps and you will be successful. I know a lot of books, you know, like that are on the bookshelf, even in Christian bookshelves, and they are very popular. Follow these steps and you will be successful. Well, sometimes we can do all the correct things and still fail. And the Word of God recognizes this. 12, moreover, no man knows when his hour will come, as fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare? So men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. You can't predict success because you never know when trouble might hit. And it might not have anything to do with you. I mean, with you causing it. A person can do everything right and then have something come along and derail the whole works. Accidents happen without warning. Serious physical problems can come on suddenly. This life can be unfair. And for sure, this life is uncertain. And I guess that's why it's a pretty pathetic and meaningless life. If it all ends at the grave, I mean, if that's it, then it is bad. Things are not always the way they should be. And so he's going to go on and tell a story to illustrate this. 13. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. And so he tells the story of a small city with only a few defenders, which was attacked by a great king and his powerful army. Now, if you're one of those few defenders in that small city and a great king with a powerful army comes against you, well, in a situation like that, if you don't have strength, you better have brains. You better have a ton of wisdom, or you're going to be in real big trouble. And so it says in verse 15, now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. That city, which was in trouble, had a secret weapon, but they didn't use it. There was a poor but very wise man in that place who, through his wisdom, delivered them from a similar situation in the past. The problem was, no one remembered to turn to him for help in the present crisis. No one thought about him. In part because he was poor. Maybe that was the reason they didn't completely. Because he was poor. He wasn't impressive outwardly. And so they didn't turn to the person who had the answers because of how he looked or because he was poor. Things just are not always the way they should be in this life. 16. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are no longer heeded. The Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. That's one of the main problems with man. He looks at the outward appearance instead of the heart. To their own hurt, some people are so biased and so unfair that they will despise the solid wisdom, maybe the solid friendship of someone simply because they are poor or maybe don't have a lot of, you know, formal education or something. It's ridiculous. And really, they only hurt themselves. And this kind of goes along with it. Verse 17 kind of goes along with the same mindset. People look at the outward. They're moved by the outward. And they overlook quiet substance. So often that's the case. 17, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. It is unfortunate that so many people mistake eloquence for wisdom. Or talking loud for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I can understand the world following after somebody who is eloquent. I can understand it. But I just don't understand Christians in masses following after people who scream and yell and maybe are eloquent and they mistake that for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'll never understand that. Some of the most outrageous, unbiblical, heretical things are screamed from pulpits to cheering crowds of Christians who shake their head yes and amen everything that is said. And I sit back sometimes and I am just amazed and I can't believe it. But God says the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. You know, a good screamer, a good yeller, can give some people an emotional buzz for a few minutes, but the calm teaching of God's word is spiritual meat and potatoes that'll help them become stronger and healthier spiritually long term. And that's what's needed. I'll never forget, this is a long, long time ago, probably almost 20 years ago, when I was, you know, just trying to find out where I fit in. I was praying a lot, and I had preached at some Pentecostal churches, and I was thinking about, you know, going that direction. And I remember a pastor of a Pentecostal church said, Mike, he said, you can teach the Word of God. He says, but I think you're going to find that most people in this denomination aren't interested in being taught the Word of God. They're interested in being excited, but they're not interested in teaching. And that was the kind of guy he was, and he was a great teacher of God's Word, but he had a rough time. I mean, people did not accept him. But it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war in verse 18. A person who has a lot of godly wisdom can often avoid trouble and strife. And that's a whole lot better than having to scratch and claw your way out of a hole that foolishness caused you to fall into. Better off with wisdom than being strong. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. One person who opposes the counsel of godly wisdom can destroy a lot of positive things which otherwise would have been. That's the truth. In other words, one bad person can really mess things up for many good people. It's like throwing sugar in a gas tank. Let's go into chapter 10. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A little bit of bad can destroy a lot of good. And foolish people can spoil everything for everyone. Even one foolish person. One foolish person can destroy everything for everyone. One bad person at work can ruin the workplace for many. One godless family member can ruin the holidays for an entire household. The greatest plans can be destroyed by one moral reprobate. It's not fair. It's not right. And it's another reason why God will even things out in eternity. Whether we are saved or lost, in heaven or in hell, God will balance the books in eternity because He is just. Two, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. And for most of us, trying to do something left-handed is awkward. And it ends in failure. People who reject God and His counsel muddle through life like a right-handed person trying to do things left-handed. Just awkward, you know? People who reject God and His word muddle through life like a right-handed person trying to do things left-handed. Things just are not as efficient as they could be. Relationships are not as smooth as they should be. Peace and contentment will also not be there like it should be. Life is awkward without God. Three, even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. You know, the person who lives a life contrary to Scripture and excludes God from the way he does things is easily recognized by someone who walks with the Lord. You don't have to be around a person like that very long to see foolishness in how they conduct the everyday affairs of their life. It doesn't take long. You can figure it out. A person's lack of respect for God and His Word is bound to come out in the ridiculous things they say and do. And if you're walking with the Lord, you're going to pick up on it right away. 4, if a ruler's anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. Calmness can lay great errors to rest. And he kind of touched on this last time. If your boss or someone else who has authority over you is angry, don't forget that you're subject to that person. In other words, exercise self-control, or you're going to make a bad situation even worse. The Bible says that a soft answer turns away wrath. 5, there is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. And so now he's going to talk about mistakes that are sometimes made by those who are in charge. And no one is perfect. And it's not easy being in charge. Consequently, there are times when leaders make mistakes. Mistakes in judgment. Good people can make mistakes. That's understandable. What's not understandable is when someone in charge does wrong because they are corrupt and they are inherently unfair. That's when it becomes a problem. 6, fools are put in many high positions while the rich occupy the low ones. Rich in wisdom is what this refers to. And this sometimes happens. We've all experienced this. The wrong person gets a promotion. The wrong person, gets a higher place on the team sometime. Favoritism. Unqualified people are sometimes given positions of honor and authority. Meanwhile, hardworking, qualified people are often overlooked. It happens. And it's just another example of unfair things that happen in this sin-twisted world. 7, I have seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. In other words, a lot of times, things are out of place. A lot of times, those who deserve honor do not receive honor. And those who do not deserve honor are honored. What's frustrating is when nothing is done to change it. 8, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Just a reminder from God. If you're going to do dangerous work, you may get hurt. You may even be killed. But if we know the risk ahead of time, we should not be surprised when something bad happens. And I guess we shouldn't complain either when something bad happens. If we know the risk ahead of time, we shouldn't complain anyway. Complaining is a sin. This is a verse that needs to be heard today. You know, if somebody gets hot coffee from McDonald's and they don't let it cool off a few minutes, they shouldn't be allowed to sue for millions of dollars because they burnt their tongue, like what happened, everybody knows that story, what happened several years ago. When did that person get $3 million? I know I'm old-fashioned, but what in the world ever happened to common sense? And that's what verse 8 is talking about. It's talking about common sense. Verse 9, whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. And this kind of goes along with verse 8. We can expect frustrations and injuries, which are consistent with the work that we do. That's just the way it is. Injuries are a part of the game no matter what we do. Christian, non-Christian, righteous person, unrighteous person, if you're a carpenter, you're going to get slivers. If you make neon signs like I used to, you're going to get a lot of burns. I can still remember them. If you drive a truck, you're probably going to get in an accident before you retire. And there is stress, and there is frustration in almost all work. And so, that's just the way it is. We can expect it. Shouldn't be shocked when it happens. Shouldn't think that we're out of God's will when it happens. And of course, it's all Adam's fault, He's the guy that messed it up for us. Man was made to work. He was created to work. But after Adam's sin, that's when frustration entered into work. That's why when you get to heaven, like I've said before, you're going to recognize Adam. He's the guy sitting in the corner that no one talks to. Everybody's still ticked off at him. I don't really believe that, but that did start it all. 10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Someone once said, work smart, not hard. That's close to being biblical, but not quite. A more biblical way of saying that is work smart, and you may not have to work so hard. That's what verse 10 is teaching. Use a sharp axe. That makes more sense. You don't have to swing as hard. Wisdom, says God, is like a sharp axe. Wisdom makes success easier to come by. Using biblical sense will help any plan to have a better chance at succeeding. Verse 11. If a snake bites before it is charmed, there is no profit for the charmer. This is a difficult verse to translate, and actually there's several alternate translations. Another translation reads, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. Meaning this, a person who talks a lot and talks a lot of nonsense is often a troublemaker, just a source of a lot of grief and pain. It can be very painful to be around someone like that for any length of time. 12. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. A God-fearing person will be careful about what he says, and therefore his words, more often than not, will help people. But a fool is loud and talks without thinking, and consequently frustrates and hurts people with the things that he says. 13. At the beginning, his words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness. And the fool multiplies words. The more someone whose words contradict Scripture talks, the worse things get. The more words a fool speaks, the more trouble they get themselves into, and the more trouble they cause others as well. 14. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell him what will happen after him? No one knows what's going to happen next. Best thing to do is to live each moment in obedience to God's word so that we are ready for whatever may come. 15. A fool's work wearies him. He does not know the way to town. I like that saying. I like that phrase. He doesn't know the way to town. God says a fool doesn't know his way to town. So it's a frustrating thing trying to get there. It's hard. If you don't know the way to town, it's hard to get there. You might stumble upon it, but it's not easy. The point is this, a fool doesn't have God's direction. He lacks a moral and spiritual compass, so he has to wing it through life. A person without God is forced to wander through life, pretending to have a solid direction while really not having any. They may stumble upon something right once in a while. You know, like the saying goes, even a blind squirrel finds an occasional acorn. But you're much better off with Jesus as your moral compass to lead you through this life and into eternity. 16. Woe to you, O land, whose king was a servant or a child, and whose princes feast in the morning. A servant or a child here refers to someone who has not been trained to rule. The nation, the business, the family, the church, who has immature leadership is going to suffer for it. 17. Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of noble birth, and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. People need leaders who are mature, not leaders who are playboys. To prosper, whatever it might be, To prosper, we need leaders who approach their job with wisdom from God. 18, if a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If his hands are idle, the house leaks. And a mature person understands that if they're not responsible enough to do their job, then it's not going to get done. Their parents, you know, may do everything for them when they are young, but if that's the case, they're going to be ill-prepared for life in the real world. And that's because when a person grows up, they realize that if they don't do what they're supposed to do, it's not going to get done. And then there's going to be trouble. 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes life merry, but money is the answer for everything. Well, the point that we can draw out of this is that there's a time for laughter, and there's a time for feasting, but not all the time, or even most of the time. A lazy, good-for-nothing, whose number one priority in life is to party, will discover that their lifestyle will eventually catch up to them, and they're going to pay, and it won't be good. Better to earn a good living by hard work and to enjoy life when you can than to be a lazy good-for-nothing whose number one priority in life is party time. 20. Do not revile the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. And what he's saying is govern your tongue. Just govern your tongue. What is said in confidence often has a way of spreading to others who we hope would never hear. Now, there's a time for private counsel. That's needed. But gossip is the thing that is discouraged here. If we are unwilling to say something to someone's face, it's best not to say it at all, because there's a chance that somehow, some way, they might find out about it. We'll pick it up in chapter 11 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.